الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this week's Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on mental illness or mental disorders. Now, I want to read a few things to you so you understand what I'm talking about, and then I get to how Islam sees mental illness or mental disorders. There are many types of mental disorders. Some common ones include anxiety disorder, including panic disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, phobia, depression, which I talked about that a few episodes ago, bipolar disorder, or other mood disorders, like eating disorders and the like. And so I want to just talk basically about six common mental disorders. One I already talked about, and you can always go back to that particular episode, which was depression. And so I won't talk about that or explain that particular one to you. So you can read that one for yourself, or listen, I'm sorry, to a previous episode that I had on depression. Now, you have a common mental disorder or mental health disorder is called panic disorder. Panic disorder is an anxiety disorder characterized by a reoccurring or unexpected panic attacks, causing shortness of breath, a racing heartbeat, dizziness, feeling faint, or fear of dying. The symptoms are often last 10 to 20 minutes, but in some cases, the symptoms may continue and seem to be increasing in severity. This causes a constant feeling of anxiety or panic disorder, losing control, or behavior changes, and fear of being alone. Of course, these disorders I'm talking about, they can seek medical attention, such as some type of medicine or treatment or therapy to get these help. But I want to say at the end what Islam says about these various disorders. And I mentioned, I want to talk about this topic in terms of sometimes what happens is, and I notice a lot it happens, is that when a person does something, terrorize people or kill people, that kind of thing, and they have a Middle Eastern or a Muslim name or affiliated with a Muslim, they call it a terrorist, or call that individual a terrorist. But when a person does the same thing and they're not identified as a Middle Easterner or a Muslim or something like that, and then they say, well, they have mental health disorder or their mental health behavior or something like that, or some kind of mental health problem. And so they could do the exact same thing and they label the person having mental health issues. But if a person identifies as a Muslim, a Middle Easterner, then they will say, well, this person is a terrorist, doing the exact same thing as if Muslims don't have mental health issues, and we do. We have people among us that have mental health issues because we're not immune to it any more than anyone else. And so I want to make sure that my students understand that. And of course, a person that identifies as a person who has mental health, they may just be a terrorist person. And so I just wanted to mention the distinction between the two. Both can have mental health and both can be terrorists, no matter if you identify as a Muslim or not identify as a Muslim. And so I just want to make that plain and clear to everyone that is listening. But right now, we're only talking about mental disorders and the types of mental disorders, and then basically what Islam says about these things. I talked about grief, I talked about depression, I talked about various things in terms of an Islamic viewpoint on it, and so now I basically want to talk about mental health mental health disorders, or behaviors, and so you understand what they are and how Islam sees these things. So let me move on. And so the next thing I want to talk about and give an explanation of, which is schizophrenia. And that is spelled S-C-H-I-Z-O-P-H-R-E-N-I-A. And so you can look this up for yourself and find out more about it. But the basic definition of it is the patient with schizophrenia will have the symptoms of hallucination, kind of like seeing things, delusions, changes in facial expression, lack of interest in spending time with other people, and anxiety. If the symptoms last more than 6 months or left untreated, it will be difficult to treat, and as a result, the treatment outcome will be poor. It becomes schizophrenia is a chronic, or because schizophrenia is a chronic disease, meaning like a continuous disease, an acute one, it just happens from time to time. But chronic, it just kind of continues happening. If left untreated, the symptoms can become more severe and difficult to cure. So that's schizophrenia. So let's get to the next one that people may hear a lot of, and that is the post-traumatic stress disorder. And of course, before I get into these even more, is that other people, I'm licensed as a social worker, along with being an imam and a lot of other things. And so other people may have different types of mental disorders, additional one, more information, more explanation about this. I'm trying to give you some basic information about these things and then basically how Islam sees these particular things. And so let's go again to post-traumatic stress disorder. And that is a disorder that develops in some people who have experienced a shocking, scary, or dangerous event, causing a feeling of fear or mistrust, and easily get startled. If left untreated, it might affect daily activities. And so sometimes the people may call this one PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, the next one is bipolar disorder. And what is that? Bipolar disorder is a condition that causes extreme mood swings between manic, meaning kind of real hyper, and depression, which I talked about before. That's the opposite of being hyper. When a patient becomes depressed, they may feel sad and hopeless, just like the symptoms of a patient with depression. The depression period may last for months and then shift to manic. So they can be down for a little while and then up for a while. During a manic period, the patient may feel euphoria, that's E-U-P-H-O-R-I-C, full of energy, undersleeping, kind, and friendly. However, they may have a problem with self-control. For example, if they want to do something, they would do it right away. And if someone is offended, they will easily become very angry. And I've seen this in people that I know that have bipolar disorder, where they're up a lot and then they're down, and then they could be very happy or be very sad, or right away they do things, or they may be offended by something, become very angry. And so now the next thing is dementia. DEMENTIA. And that is a condition in which there is deterioration of cognitive function, kind of like your mind doesn't function like it usually does, affecting daily activities. Patients with dementia may have problems with short-term memory, changes in thinking skills. Dementia is commonly found in older people over 65 years old. Depending on the cause, some dementia symptoms may be reversible. And so a person, for example, may have thyroid disease, vitamin B12 deficiency, syphilis infection, and autoimmune disease, and a lot of other things may happen with the individual that cause their dementia to take place. And sometimes they have Alzheimer, A-L-Z-H-E-I-M-E-R disease, or vascular dementia. And so you may see this, like, again, particularly in older people. I hope that some kind of way when I'm mentioning this will help people better be able to understand what some of the people around them may be going through, particularly as people's parents get older and over 65, for example, and they change. Their behavior change. Their remembering things change. Thinking skills change. So a lot of things changes for the individual, and so they may be going through or having Alzheimer's or vascular dementia or some type of dementia disease. And so you'll be able to understand. I hope that also what I'm mentioning is also help you to identify anyone in your family who is experiencing this, and you better be able to identify what's going on with them and maybe take them to a doctor to get some type of treatment to help them to recover or to deal with what they're going through. Are there some things that you can do to help them to remember things, or some things you can do to help to keep them safe? But I won't get into that, because that's not what this particular episode is all about. This podcast is all about. You go to other podcasts to find out more about mental health disorders, mental health behaviors. I'm just telling you some basic information about mental health and defining it for you, and then let you know what Islam, later on I'll let you know what Islam says about these things. And then you have what is called phobias, and that's P-H-O-B-I-A-S, phobias. And phobias are persistent and intense fear of certain situations. Intense fear of certain things or situations. For example, fear of heights, fear of darkness, fear of an animal, fear of blood, etc. Patients with phobia will actively and, of course, immediately avoid the phobic thing, or also the phobic situation, the thing they're afraid of, such as blood and animals and heights and that sort of thing. In severe cases, even mentioning their phobia or facing the same situation, they cannot endure it. Even saying something about them being fearful of heights or mentioning an animal they're afraid of or blood, they become upset just thinking about it. Also, with this phobia or different feral phobias, they could be treated with a combination of therapy and medication. So I want to mention that to you all that there are treatments available for these individuals. And so now you probably want to know, okay, well then what does Islam say about these things? And so before I get into that, I wanted to also mention and just kind of test you about what I just said. And so we talked about so far about the different types of mental disorders. Can you all remember the one that I didn't talk about? And I told you to go and find out more information from one of my previous episodes. And that was what? Okay, that was depression. And you can find out more about depression, more information about depression. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. And also you go to my episode where I get really more in depth about depression. And the symptoms of depression may include feeling down or sad, feeling of worthlessness, reduced ability to concentrate, forgetfulness, sleeping problems, loss of appetite, headache, and thoughts of death or suicide. If the symptoms last more than 2 weeks, psychiatric consultation is recommended. So I won't go into that because this is my episode where I talk about it. And again, you're probably wondering, hey man, why are you talking about these things? You're supposed to explain to us about Islam. And I get into that a little what Islam is and what Islam is not. But I have to get into this because it affects my students and members of their family. And I want for you what I want for myself. I want to look after you, and hopefully and prayfully you will look after me as your instructor. So that's why I'm talking about these things, and also giving an Islamic view about these things. As I mentioned about grief, an Islamic view about grief, and with my previous episode, and I talked about depression, an Islamic view about depression. And so, and what our thoughts are pertaining to this, I'm going to do also with this particular episode where I talk about mental health disorder, or disorders. Also, if you remember, I talked about panic disorder and the fact that it lasts for 10 to 20 minutes. And of course, if it's not treated, it become of course more severe. And also the fact that a person can lose losing control, behavior change. And so these are some of the things associated with panic disorder. Okay, what's the other thing I talk about? Began with an S, which is schizophrenia. Again, I'll spell it. It's kind of a long word. S-C-H-I-Z-O-P-H-R-E-N-I-A. And so this may last for more than 6 months. And if left untreated, it could be difficult to treat. So schizophrenia, of course, a person hallucinate, and they see things, their facial expression changes, and all these things I mentioned to you earlier pertaining to this particular disease or disorder. And then the one you may hear a lot is PTSD. You know what that stands for, PTSD. And I'm going to help you with this one, and that's post-traumatic stress disorder. Something happened to a person, and then it's like that the particular thing happens over and over and over again. Or they become very afraid when they're in that particular situation. Or they smell something, or they hear something. Or it might even be some music that they hear reminding us of some terrible incident that took place, traumatic incident that took place. And they become very, very frightened, and causing them to fear and be mistrust things. So again, Again, you're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder for the individual. And post is something that happened, not pre, but post. Something happens, and then it impacts their life for a long time. And different things happen to them because a particular thing happened to them in their life. So post is basically mean after something took place. And then the trauma takes place, and then of course the stress and it becomes a disorder. Then we mentioned again, I just kind of go over to it with you again, bipolar disorder, where a person is manic, they're real up about something, and also or they have these kind of moods of swings. They're up about something and are happy about something, and then they become depressed about something, and also they lose their self control. They may be they want to do something, they immediately take care and they do that thing. Or if you insult the person, then they immediately become very, 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 very angry. And this is a person who is what you call bipolar. And the other one I mentioned begin with a D, and that is dementia. Dementia, which mostly happens to a person, they're around the age of 65, and it happens to the particular individual, and they cannot function properly, have short-term memory, remembering things, and also changes in their thinking skills. So I just want to, you find out more information or go to a doctor, mental health a person, and they can help you clarify more on what this particular thing is when you're talking about a person having dementia. And you hear a lot about Alzheimer's and vascular dementia and different types of other type of disease associated with this. And you also, of course, the last one is a phobia, which I mentioned to you before. And that is, you're talking about intense fear of certain situations. It might be height, or fear of darkness, or fear of blood or an animal. Some people, they may even have a fear of a clown. If they see a clown, a lot of people see clowns with the painted faces, big nose, big shoes, and the costumes. And so some people say, I have a fear of clowns. They don't want to be around clowns. And it causes kind of an anxiety inside the individual. Or it's for animals. I don't want to be around snakes or different animals because it brings on a fear inside of me when I'm around that particular animal. Some people are not fearful of the animal, but some people are very fearful of the animal. And these are all different types of mental health disorders or behavioral disorders that affects individual. And it can be people that are young people, and it can be also affect the people who are older people. Now let's get into some things that Islam says pertaining to mental health. And there's just a few things that Islam mentions about mental health. And one, Abu Sa'id is one of the Prophet's companions, and Abu Huraira also they recorded this thing or reported this a particular hadith of saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him. And they said, I heard Allah's messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, as saying, never a believer is stricken with discomfort, hardship, or illness, grief, or even with mental worry that his sins are not expiated for him. So if a person is going through something, that Allah relieves them of their sins. I get into this in the moment pertaining to that, and that a person is going through some type of discomfort, hardship, illness, grief, or some kind of mental disorder, and then Allah relieve them from what they're going through, or expiate it, meaning forgive them for what they're the any sins that they commit. and saying something along those same lines. It was narrated by Ali, who's one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him. And that he said that the Messenger of Allah said, "The pin has been lifted for three, for the sleeping person until he awakes, for the boy until he becomes a young man," meaning also a girl, "and for the mentally insane until he regains his sanity." And so this is the beauty of Islam, is that these individuals are not responsible. And that the person who is asleep, then the pen is lifted, because all of us, we had an angel on the right side and an angel on our left side writing down what we do or what we say. On the right side, it writes down our good deeds and on what we say and what we do. And on our left side, it writes down our bad deeds, what we say and what we do. But for three individuals, the pen is lifted. And as for a person who is sleeping, so when you go to sleep at night, there's your pen. The pen is lifted. The angels are not writing down anything. But also, if a young man, or I could say a young woman, becomes a man or reaches the age of puberty, before puberty, the pen is lifted for them. But after become puberty, meaning getting hairs in certain places, or they may have semen, different things happen, or a certain age, whatever, then a person has not reached the age of puberty. You can look that up for yourself. I'm gonna go into detail pertaining to that about puberty and what responsibility a person become. They have what we call pubic hair and that kind of thing, and so the person is not responsible for what they say, and the pen is lifted for that individual because of the fact that they have not reached the age of puberty. So I'm gonna move on. And puberty is P-U-B-E-R-T-Y, puberty. And I mentioned, of course, the pen being lifted for three: the person who is asleep until they awake, and the person who is have not reached age of puberty until they reach puberty, and the person who is sane until they regain their sanity. And then the last thing that I want to mention to my students, and that is, it was narrated by Anas, one of the Prophet's companions, and he said, "There was a man whose mental faculties was lacking, and he used to buy and sell. His family came to the Prophet, may peace and blessing upon him, and said, 'O Prophet of Allah, stop him.' So the Prophet of Allah called him and told him not to do that," meaning not to go buy and sell. "He said, 'O Prophet of Allah,'" this is the man with the mental health problems, "'I cannot bear to be away from business.' He said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, 'If you engage in a deal, then say, there is no intention to deceive.'" So letting the person know, look, it is not my intention to deceive you. So I want you to understand that, or cheat you. I want you to understand that So the Prophet gave him a nasihah, or advice, that you say to the people that you're buying and selling from, that there is no intention to deceive. So the Prophet looked after the person who wanted to buy and sell and do business. He loved buying and selling and doing business. But the Prophet said, look, this is what you say to people so they understand who you are and what you're going through and your state of mind is, and letting them know, "I'm buying from you. I'm not here to deceive you. Also, I'm selling to you. I am not here to deceive you. No, I have no intention to do that." And so this is the basic information pertaining to a mental disorder, a mental health, an individual dealing with a person with mental health disorders. And so those are just some of the things, because we're running out of time, I'm going to go into more detail. These are some of the things that I want my students to understand pertaining to a person that the mental health issue. And so I want to end with this, is that to find out and learn more about the Islamic faith, or increase your knowledge of Islam, please visit Why Islam, or you go to International Online University and learn more about Islam and get a degree in Islam, and also American Open University, and you can also go there and get a degree in Islam and learn more about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.